Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. I'm Brother Priest. This is Come Out of Her, My People, outreach program for tribes of Aboriginal nations. And today, at the last minute, I decided to come on and speak about American Pharoah, whom I'm predicting will win this Triple Crown. And I'm saying that because what you see happening in America in the change of climate, the change of power, and how the weather, nature, is bringing about judgment upon America. The weather is hitting particular spots in the four corners of the earth, continued tsunamis, continued hurricanes. And of course, when there is quote unquote hurricane season, there's something to be aware, to beware of. But there are a great number of things that we need to look at that are deeper than what we think are in face on face value. In horse racing, there is a horse named American Pharoah. And my prediction is, now American Pharoah has already won two races out of the three that they call the Triple Crown. So I'm saying that my prediction is that American Pharoah will in fact win the Triple Crown. Now I don't keep up with horse racing, but when I saw the name of this horse and I saw the fact that the horse had won two-thirds of the Triple Crown already, foresee that there was going to be a Triple Crown winner, for the first time in a long while. And why am I saying this? What you all don't see, I am thoroughly convinced that sports, competitive sports, are in fact manipulated in the same manner in which professional wrestling is scripted. And I'm saying this because, not that it's not enjoyable, but there are certain things that take place in sports that those who are in sports comprehend, mismatches, and all these different things. But they use this to produce, induce psychological directions and commands into the people to induce particular behavior patterns. Let me give you an example. Remember September 11, 2001? Do you remember what was going on around that time? Before September 11, 2001, they were working on the Patriot Act. September 11 happened. Patriot Act, if I remember correctly, is invoked. But here's what happened in sports. All of a sudden, the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl. They got a new coach at the time who was a losing coach in Bill Belichick. He was working in Cleveland with the Cleveland Browns. He had a 4-11 record. He averaged five wins prior to coming to the New England Patriots. Did you all know that? He was not a winning coach. All of a sudden, they offer him from the New England Patriots. This is before the year that they won the Super Bowl. They offer him an enormous amount of money that was unheard of for a losing coach. Similar to what's going on today with basketball, I'll show you in just a moment. So this losing coach gets offered one of the highest contracts in coaching history to come to the New England Patriots. 9/11 happens, and then the New England Patriots become the dominant team of the 2000 era. To date, they just won their last Super Bowl. This is their fourth Super Bowl that they've won since 2001. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they get to the Super Bowl, which is the highest viewed sport event. It is globally viewed on a national platform and an international platform. They say, we are all Patriots. At the Super Bowl, after the Patriots win, they say, we're all Patriots. Media is used to manipulate the minds of the people. Media is used to direct the minds of the people. In basketball today, look at this. Golden State Warriors, who are from the state of California, that team is in California, are going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland, Ohio. But yet the Cleveland Cavaliers have the best player in the league, LeBron James. He sells the most shirts and paraphernalia. He sells the most tickets when he comes to your arena, to a town near you. He's selling the tickets rather than the hometown team itself. He's going up against, this is LeBron James, the best player in basketball, is going up against the MVP of the basketball league, which is Stephen Curry. If you notice, the last 14 years in sports, 15 years have been dominated by California, Florida, Texas. California, Florida, Texas. Texas, home of George W. Bush, home of George Herbert Walker Bush, his father. Florida, controlled by Jeb Bush, which my teacher pointed this out to me before the year 2000, what was going to be happening in sports. My teacher was friends with Lou Alcindor, and he even told me that he was on CBS television the night with Lou Alcindor, the night that they won the NBA title with the Milwaukee Bucks. And Lou Alcindor, of course, later on went to become known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I have a lot to add into this, so please bear with me. Let me get this out. This is going to go in a number of different directions, but please bear with me. My teacher told me about his conversations that he had with the then Lou Alcindor, who was crossing over to become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And some of the insight that he gave, that Lou Alcindor gave to my teacher about how sports were being dealt with. And my teacher was friends with the Lou Alcindor, even in his transition to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all the way up to the time when the Lakers played the Pistons in 1988. And some of the things that he told me about how sports in basketball were manipulated to some greater or lesser degree. And this is direct from Kareem. Now, I'm saying this, and you have no reason to believe me, but I have no reason to lie, that this was transferred from Mr. Lou Alcindor to my teacher and then to me. I'm not going to say everything that I was told, but it gave me enough of an insight to come and speak out on this today. So, Jeb Bush, Florida, in alignment to run for presidency. Prior to this year, the last 4 years were controlled by the Miami Heat, which is in Florida. Before the arrival of LeBron James, there was Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal, who was also of the fraternal order, the Q-Dogs, Omega Psi Phi, whose colors were purple and gold. Shaquille started with Orlando Magic, in his first 5 years of his career. Mysteriously, after they just went to the NBA Finals, the Orlando Magic, Shaquille leaves and goes to the purple and gold Lakers. Then leaves eventually after, 12 years, and then goes from the purple and gold Lakers to the Miami Heat. Now, here's what happened. The teams that generate the most revenue are manipulated. You know that it is standardly known that the superstars in basketball in particular get the quote-unquote calls in their favor. Well, why is that? Because this stuff is manipulated. So, Golden State, who's a California team, has a first-year head coach. Cleveland Cavaliers have a first-year head coach. This has never happened in the history of basketball where two first-year head coaches end up in the NBA Finals, one who is the number one player in the league, the other who is the MVP of the league. And you all don't see that this stuff looks like it's manipulated, and I'm saying that to say that you have to understand what's going on in relation to what has taken place historically. Now, American Pharoah wins the Triple Crown. What is the Triple Crown? The Triple Crown is representing, or could possibly be anyhow, the Holy Trinity that was started in ancient Babylon. Many of you who are from a Christian background believe that the Holy Trinity comes from your Christianity that you know of it as. You don't realize that the Holy Trinity has nothing to do with the Scriptures. It only references the Scriptures. The Holy Trinity goes back way before modern-day Christianity. The one you call Jesus, it goes back centuries before him. So now they're setting up the next move. Listen, when we were speaking about what was going on and what the government plans were back in 03, 04, 05, 06, 07. Back in 03, we were on the underground preaching. Bush Clinton was there. Agenda for the presidency. Hillary Clinton was set up to become president after George Bush. And we kept preaching it and preaching it and preaching it to the fact that whether you all understand this or not, when those of us who are on this underground scene preaching these messages begin to crack through the minds of the people, they have to slightly, so it doesn't look like the people in the underground get their thumb pegged on just what these wicked people are doing. So they throw in Barack Obama out of nowhere, and then understand how politics works. It's really not a matter of political platform. Because if you don't know, the Democratic and Republican Party are really the same party. If you don't remember, the Democratic Party used to be called the Democratic Republican Party. The Democratic Republican Party. That's who the Democrats are. The Republicans are of today are called the GOP, the Grand Old Party. So they're rooted in the same origin because this government was based on and is built on a republic platform. This is a republic form of government. It's not a democracy. Anyhow, what's going on is they use entertainment to condition the minds of the people. Therefore, you see coming when Hillary first ran for president, they had the same woman, Gina Davis, who played the character of Charlie Baltimore. Look up the movie Long Kiss Goodnight. Look up that movie and see if 9/11 is not predicted in that movie. Long Kiss Goodnight came out in what, like 96? So, the same character, Charlie Baltimore, Agent Charlie Baltimore, I believe it was, in that Long Kiss Goodnight, with Samuel L. Jackson. You just pay attention because I'm going to connect a whole lot of things here. Gina Davis later plays the role of a female president. Right? That was preceding the announcement of Hillary Clinton running for president. So they were using entertainment, as they always have, to condition and precondition the minds of the people to be prepared to accept certain things, and the people will think that they are accepting it for their will when it is really against their own reasoning. They don't understand the platforms of government or why they cast a ballot. It's a popularity contest in casting ballots in elections for presidents because the popular vote doesn't have to win, but the popular vote that goes to the Electoral College and it's decided from that point, the Electoral College decides it, is based on, listen carefully, the amount of money that is put into the campaign. Whoever raises the most money in their campaign funds is the winner. Guaranteed every time. You all don't see this. Barack Obama was a last minute entry into the Democratic nomination. He raised more funds for his campaign in 1 year, because he only campaigned for a year, than Hillary had in 5 years. Remember, Hillary was working in the state of New York. So they were grooming Hillary to take that seat because the natural progression is from governor, the only other higher seat than governor would be president of the United States. Now, let me make this clear. government is broken down into a microcosm to a macrocosm to microcosm. The United States has a president and a Congress. State level, a governor is the president of the state. The governor has his Congress, the state representatives. The city has a mayor. The mayor is the president of the city, or the municipality, to be specific. City council is his Congress. So you would think one that would escalate to mayor would then go from mayor and possibly do a governor run, and then go from governor, who is the president of the state, president of the United States. That would be the natural escalation, if you would, in a political system such as this. Well, for the most part, mayors never rise above the role of a mayor unless they go from a mayor to some type of congressman. Usually you don't see former mayors running for president or ever becoming president, because for the most part they don't run. Usually a mayor, it would seem, if you analyze this, mayors are barred from ever becoming president. I'm not saying that they are. I'm saying this is what it looks like. So if they ever desire to ever try to sit in that seat, that they can't be a mayor. They can be a state representative, and they can go from state representative or to governor, and then from governor they can run for president. Or they can go from a governor to a congressman and then run for president. All this hopefully will make sense. Just bear with me. Barack Obama comes out of nowhere and raises more money than any candidate in the history of presidential candidates in 1 year. A man who was totally unknown by the masses of people, and as reported 5 years ago, when the nominee was to be decided, and the race was very close between Hillary and Barack Obama, they were set to have a meeting. Barack Obama mysteriously disappears. Hillary is looking for Barack in this meeting that they were going to decide what to do about this Democratic nominee. Barack Obama is off with the Bilderbergers. Barack Obama is off with the Trilateral Commission. Barack Obama is pulled away from the meeting that he was to have with Hillary and goes and meets with the financial backers of the United States of America and really the global rulers of the planet, for what you all can see. Because they selected him and backed him economically is why he was able to get the most money out of any presidential candidate in history. I'm going to show you why. Bear with me. I'm going to show you why. So, Barack Obama was placed in the office of president. His father and his brother have political ties in Africa. You know this, right? They screw up and allow the birth certificate scandal to come to surface. That Barack Obama's name was not Barack Obama. Was it Barry Sweato? Is that how you pronounce it? His actual name? His father being from Kenya. his brother and other relatives having political affiliation in Africa, conveniently where there are diamonds in diamond mines or lands that could be mined for diamonds, along with oil. This is just me reporting this to you if you did not know this. This is not me speculating. This is me reporting it to you based off of what I've seen as reported about him. I'm not saying he's a good or bad man. I'm speaking of Barack. I'm not saying he's a good or bad man. That's up for you to decide. I'm just giving you the facts that you can look at in a deeper way. So, the bloodline of Barack Obama through his father goes back to ancient Kemet. He's a direct bloodline descendant of Kemetic pharaohs. So now today, you actually have an American pharaoh as a president. Now, all presidencies are a mock of the ancient pharaohs. Well, at first, it's a direct mock of the Roman emperors, who were a mock of the ancient pharaohs. Politically and in government, this is why you will have Osiris, which is a Greek version of Osar. This is why you will have Zeus. Excuse me. Yeah, Osiris is Greek, and Zeus, which is Greco-Roman. So you know how you can look in the ancient Egyptology, as they say, and you can see Osiris, Horus, and Isis. Well, understand, that's not who they were. It was Osar, Set, and Heru, right? So if you know of Osar, Set, and Heru, let me just say that, particularly in the said conscious community. Okay, what European Greco-Roman people called the names of Osiris, Set, and Heru, they changed them to Isis, Osiris, and Horus. And then you have that as the Holy Trinity, or that as the Triple Crown, that was to set up all of these years today an American pharaoh that is to come. Now, there was one that was to come, and he would be Barack Obama. And it's just convenient that Barack, in certain Hebrew languages, means lightning. In certain Hebrew dialects, means lightning. So, if you can see this, there's a modern-day American pharaoh, Barack Obama, who was groomed and placed in that seat, who was a direct bloodline descendant of the ancient Kemetic pharaohs. If you study the migration pattern, where did those pharaohs of Kemet go to after the Greeks moved in? Because Alexander the Great moved, when he came to Egypt, he respected Egypt. Well, it wasn't called Egypt at the time. Before he got there, it wasn't called Egypt. But when he came, he respected and admired it, and built a relationship with him. But his cabinet members did not like Kemet. So after Alexander died, they moved in and took over and started to convert Kemet. And so during Alexander's life, I think it was, if I remember correctly, is where the conversion from Kemet to Egypt began. Egypt is a Greek word. So since that time, Greeks and Kemetic people, or whatever term you want to use, Nubians, who were rulers of Kemet, have been in government, sleeping in the same bed, literally and figuratively. So Kemet / Egypt was the birthplace of the modern day United States of America political system. If you follow me, hopefully this will make sense. I'm going to try to speak slowly so I can get it out properly. With the idea of the Holy Trinity in place. In ancient times, Kemet becoming Egypt and carrying this Holy Trinity that they were calling Osiris, Isis, and Horus. So some of you think that this was a stolen legacy. This was a political agenda that at some point became consensual, as the people who were in Kemet prior to the arrival of Alexander, there were two groups of people. There was a group of Shemites, Shemitic people, who were under the captivity of taxpayer status in Kemet. Some of them had gotten up into rulership positions, such as governor and mayor seats of their time, who did not agree with these Greeks, who were actually Macedonians, and so Kemet was split, where some people conceded to follow the cabinet of Alexander, and some people did not concede. So now when those Greeks, Macedonians, took over Kemet and converted it to Egypt, well, they were doing it when Alexander was alive, because they created Alexandria, which is obvious. But now that they converted Kemet to Egypt, and Alexander respected it, but his cabinet didn't, and once Alexander died and his cabinet took over, that's when this system was to be passed down from the Greeks to the Romans. So what you think is a plagiarism is not a plagiarism if you understand government. These are psychological tools that are used to manipulate and control the masses of people in a society that do not know any better. Hopefully you can hear me and where I'm leading. This might not be the most exciting thing to listen to, but I need to express it in the best way I can. I don't have the most energy today, but I want to deliver this to you in the best way I can. part of the psychological conditioning of a people being manipulated through entertainment means those who comprehend this become rulers in government. So when you pass this down from Kemet being converted to Egypt, being taken over by Greek Macedonians, then that same knowledge being passed down to the Romans, now you will understand why Osiris, Asar, and Zeus have a relationship. It is not stolen. It is passed down in government as tools of psychological control and manipulation, of mind control over masses of people. So when you get to Rome, Rome is the baby of Kemet and Greece. Romans are a crossbreed of ancient African Kemites and Greek Macedonians mixed in with some of those who were Idumeans. So Rome is a mixed multitude carrying the same principles, which is why the Zeus, Osiris, Asar connection was converted into the Holy Trinity of Jesus. And Jesus, or Jesus, is Jesus. To my Christian brothers and sisters that do not understand this, don't be alarmed and don't allow this to hurt you. Those that are in the conscious community, they know some of what I'm saying, but they've been taught to look at it as though it was theft when it was not. These people have been initiated into fraternal orders and sororities that pass this information down. Masonic orders and fraternal orders that pass this information down to government rulers. And they know that they have to implement into their republic form of government systems a Holy Trinity as a form of religious mind control. You don't hear me. So when I saw American Pharaoh had won 2/3 of the Triple Crown, knowing that Barack Obama is on his way out of office, what happened in ancient Kemet was they replaced a male pharaoh with a female pharaoh. Listen, follow me here. In every other situation, listen to me good, there's a female and male counterpart. For every god, there's a goddess. For every emperor, there's an empress. For every king, there's a queen. What is the counterpart to a pharaoh? Listen to me good. So the title of pharaoh was then given to a woman. Now look at this. You can say if you want that pharaoh may have been a unisex title, but you would have to agree that president is a unisex title. So the same thing that was going on in ancient Kemet, when they were passing the reins of a what was supposed to be looked upon as a male or a masculine title. The office and seat was passed to a female. And when they were conducting their ancient inaugurations, you all don't get it, the calendar dates that were set up for the transfer of that ancient male pharaoh, you go look it up, to the female pharaoh, the calendar dates fall around the same time as did when Hillary and Barack were to meet. So they were trying to put Hillary in office, but they got a monkey wrench in their plan. And they're going to get one here again. They passed the torch to Barack Obama in fulfillment of prophecy, in a sense, to slightly deviate and throw the people off course. Now you have an actual bloodline descendant of the ancient pharaohs ready to pass the torch to a female president. Unisex title and position. Same thing. And whereas the Holy Trinity is the Triple Crown, they had to manufacture this terminology back into the psychology of the people, so American Pharaoh, I can see, is going to win the Triple Crown, because the Triple Crown is the Holy Trinity. They have on HBO Veep, who's starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus from the show Seinfeld. Are you hearing me? You think this is a coincidence? So they take Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and now they have her playing a presidential role, Veep being like a vice president. But they're conditioning the people once again through entertainment to accept a female leader in politics. Through entertainment. Just as they did with Gina Davis leading up to Hillary's run. Hillary announced a year or two a year ago she resigned from the Secretary of State. Why do you think she was put in the Secretary of State after Barack beats her for the Democratic nominee? To help groom her. But what was ahead of her was that there was going to be all of these things coming out on her behavior in government that they had to supersede, and she knew it was coming. You can see this if you just look at this with your own eyes. And she said she was done with politics and all of that malarkey. I knew it then. I knew she was going to come back out and announce her run, and if you don't see it, now is Hillary Clinton about to run against Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush down in Florida. Florida has Disney Entertainment. California has Disney Entertainment. Florida has movie studios. California has movie studios. San Antonio Spurs versus Miami Heat. 2 years in a row, they trade titles. The first time they go up against one another, Miami, Florida takes the title. The second time, Texas takes the title. The home state of the Bushes is Texas. They control Florida through Jeb Bush, trading titles between them. Meaning you could literally buy a team of the best players and win a title. All of a sudden, the New England Patriots in 2001 coming out of nowhere to win the Super Bowl. state or national TV or international TV, we are all patriots in 2001. A couple years later, they trade Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to the Boston Celtics, who win a title and go up against going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. Then they trade the title where the Lakers beat the Celtics the next year, or the following year, excuse me. The Lakers, in between, okay, wait, let me make sure I got this right. Boston goes against the Lakers. They beat the Lakers. That's basically the Boston Patriots go up against California, or New England goes against California. Boston is in Massachusetts, but Boston is part of New England. New England is a conglomerate, if you don't understand. They trade, well, then the next year following, the Lakers go up against the Orlando Magic. And they defeat the Orlando Magic. Orlando, Florida. The year after that, the Lakers go up against the Boston Celtics. Now wait, 2007, the Boston Celtics defeat the Lakers. 2008, the Lakers defeat the Orlando Magic. 2009, the Lakers go up against the Boston Celtics and defeat the Celtics. They traded the titles. They purchased the best talent: Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. Time to go back to Florida and get the best talent once again. Miami, Florida. LeBron shows up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Now, Jeb Bush is going up against Hillary Clinton in the forthcoming election. They're setting up in the minds of the people through this American Pharaoh horse to usher in this holy trinity in the final triple crown, nail in your coffin, is they're going to switch the Federal Reserve note dollar bill. You better hear me. If you're not following this, you won't understand. 54 congressmen pulled their money out of U.S. banks. Right after, the banks plead guilty to mortgage fraud and to manufacturing credit out of thin air, which they were stealing and creating their own money. Let me explain why that's wrong. Every Federal Reserve note dollar that is printed must be approved by the Federal Reserve. The United States cannot print a single dollar unless the Federal Reserve Bank approves it. The Federal Reserve Bank is not a United States bank. The Federal Reserve Bank is owned and controlled and possessed by the international bankers, controller, and the Treasury Department. The Treasury is the United States Bank, not the Federal Reserve Bank. The Treasury is the United States Bank. The comptroller is the mediator between the Treasury and the Federal Reserve. The comptroller is an accountant, basically, to make sure that the debts that the United States owes to the international bankers, which is the Federal Reserve Bank, is paid back to the bankers. So the comptroller is a mediator. They're trying to protect the Treasury in the United States of America, and the Federal Reserve Bank is a mediator for the international bankers. So this means, let me put it in layman's terms, the United States of America borrowed money from the international bankers, who are Zionists, by the way. Zion is an ancient hill in Israel, where all of the same banking and laws were made on these two hills or mounts, Mount Moriah and Mount Zion. Okay, those are two ancient capital hills. One was for government and laws, the other was for the temple and currency. I said that kind of backwards, but hopefully you get the picture. So, the United States borrows money from the international bankers. They depleted all of their gold. So the international bankers have the Federal Reserve to oversee the debts that the United States owes to them. Because the United States depleted all of their gold, they had to be issued fiat scrip, which is the Federal Reserve note, is evidence of the debt that is owed from the United States to the international bankers. Because of this, the United States cannot print up a Federal Reserve note unless they have the permission from the Federal Reserve Bank. Hopefully, you got it. To the other issue. America is in debt to China, and apparently China has foreclosed on America. And as I reported to you a year ago, when the government shut down for the first time in many years, that was the beginning of the end. Why do you think they shut down, really? China was foreclosing. And I said to you, don't think of this like you're going to think of it. You're going to get rocked back to sleep. You're going to go back to sleep and you're not going to see that China is going to make the complete conversion. So now there is a new currency law. They're creating a new currency to replace the Federal Reserve note because China has moved to replace the Federal Reserve note as the global reserve currency. What this means is wherever there is the greatest pool of debt or quote-unquote money, whoever generates the most money is generating the most debt. This is going to be twisting your mind if you don't understand it, but I got to say it how it is. You just got to figure it out for yourself. You think that when you get $1,000 that you got $1,000 profit. That's $1,000 in debt that the United States owes to the Federal Reserve Bank via the international bankers, or the international bankers via the Federal Reserve Bank. Every dollar you get is evidence of a debt that the United States owes to the international bankers. Get it? So every time you get $1,000, $1 million, $10 million, those are debt notes. So if they get a basketball player, a football player, and they pay them $100 million, do you understand? That's $100 million in debt. If they get a Barack Obama and he raises the most money, I don't remember what the number is, of any presidential candidate in history, he created the most debt. But because you perceive it as a plus, you perceive it as a plus. How in the world can Michael Jackson, the richest entertainer in history, be said to have died owing $400 million in debt? You don't get what they're saying to you. Okay. Barack Obama raising the campaign money is no different than an athlete getting a major contract. The highest paid athletes in basketball are always, listen to me good, are always competing for the championship. They set it up that way. LeBron James is in the finals again with a team that was not a winner prior to him getting there this year. There has never been a team that can all of a sudden, who wasn't even a championship contender, all of a sudden LeBron James comes and they're in the finals? You don't see this stuff as manipulated? LeBron James being one of the top two highest paid players. Kobe structured the highest deal. LeBron James structured the second highest deal, but he got the residuals in endorsements. So he actually is the highest paid because his residuals and the endorsements have superseded Kobe. So now the evidence of the debt, the highest paid salaries, the highest paid generating quote-unquote money entities are what wins. So now you have the highest paid player versus the MVP in the NBA Finals. The MVP, again, representing California and the entertainment industry. Golden State, California, who replaced the Lakers. And guess what? Next year, it'll probably be the Clippers. And if it's not the Clippers, it'll probably be the Clippers versus Dallas or Houston. No, probably Houston. Because you're looking at, again, Texas, Florida, and California. And then soon it's going to be New York that's going to come out. Just watch. I could go into other things, but I don't have a lot of time to explain it. Now, the Holy Trinity is the Triple Crown. So they're setting it up to bring forth a female pharaoh. Semiramis is Mother Mary, is Isis, Osiris, and Horus, is the Triple Crown, Holy Trinity, Madonna, Mother Mary, so on and so forth. So when you get from ancient Kemet being converted to Egypt, Greek bearing the offspring, Greeks and African Kemites bearing the offsprings of Roman, Dumians mixed in there. The idea of the Trinity is passed down from Greece to Rome, and then Rome formulates their Holy Trinity in the Mother Mary and Jesus, or Jesus. So, Greeks are known as homosexuals and voyeurs and lesbians. That being passed down to Romans. Romans formulating the modern day Christianity. Formulating the Holy Trinity. Formulating Triple Crown as a psychological weapon of mass control. I saw this movie, Kingsman. Listen to this. This is what I saw in it. Samuel L. Jackson is playing the role of Russell Simmons. You all better hear me. Russell Simmons is the character that Samuel L. Jackson is obviously imitating. Russell Simmons, who allegedly had a severe crack addiction after he became famous, was in the movie Crush Groove and admitted that he was high in the movie. The character that Samuel L. Jackson is playing institutes a SIM card that you put in your phones and controls the minds of the people. Russell Simmons introduced the Rush card. Kingsmen, they can click their heels, like the Wizard of Oz. And in the Kingsmen, they're using neurological mental control. Here's what this man, this character, Samuel L. Jackson, says in the movie. You need to see this. He's setting up a quote-unquote V-Day, which is representing him by the name of Valentine as his character, and they're telling you about the Valentine's Day Massacre. Samuel L. Jackson says in the movie, listen, this is what he says, mankind is the virus. I'm not saying that's verbatim, I'm saying the paraphrase, mankind is a virus. So as he unleashes this SIM card, one of the Kingsman's agents is in the church, and there are Jews in the church, Jewish people in the church, and the preacher is preaching against niggers, faggots, and Jews, which is the same thing that Axl Rose did from Guns N' Roses back in, what was it, 1990? He put a song and talked about niggers, faggots, and Jews, and they pulled it off the shelf. At the same time, Jada Smith is wearing a dress to the prom. At the same time, Hillary once again cuts her hair short because she's getting ready to take office. Whenever she's out of office, go and look at her record. Whenever she's not in office, her hair gets longer and looks more womanly. When she decides to take office, her hair gets cut short and she has more of a man's hairstyle. So the U.S. currency laws are in effect after the banks plead guilty to all the fraud. 54 congressmen pull their money out of the banks because they know what's coming. You all don't see the psychological conditioning that is being perpetrated upon the people through entertainment. And so the American Pharoah horse is going to win the Triple Crown. And then American Pharoah is going to be plastered in the minds of the masses of people. And as the masses of people are being conditioned mentally to accept this winning horse, American Pharoah, you don't understand the psychological mind control behind it, is first acknowledging that Barack Obama is an American Pharoah and that they're about to use that Pharoah to transfer over the seat to a female who's taking a unisex seat, or what would appear to be a unisex seat. So they had to gear up in movies, in television, and in sports to get the attention of the masses of people to control their minds. and to sway their minds. Jeb Bush called to the entire United States community to save the Christian world and to spread their quote-unquote Christian values at the same time that Brittany Griner, WNBA star, announces that her and her quote-unquote wife are having a baby. So now they got you confused thinking that women can impregnate women. The sexual practices of the Greco-Romans have been implemented on Americans. All the sexual deviance that was going on in Greece and Rome, and in Kemet when they converted to Egypt specifically, all of that sexual deviance has entered America because these are the same people that have kept up the same politics, have passed this down to the same psychological and cultural behaviors. America is the revived Roman Empire, and it is a conglomerate of all of the wicked empires before it. Egypt, Greece, Babylon, Rome, all of that is America. China has foreclosed. And I saw the other day that they had a picture, I think it was of some police officers. Look this up. Police officers that had a Negro man with deer antlers. Did you all see that? They're trying to move to the electric cars because China, back in 2011, pulled their contracts from the Islamic countries for oil and moved their contracts to Russian oil. So the Islamic countries are economically suffering at the hands of the United States because it is time for them to pay the mortgage debts on the land that they are sitting on for oil to America, because America had to pay the bankers and they had to pay China. So when the Islamic countries could not pay or did not pay, now all of a sudden you got all these quote-unquote wars, which are foreclosures for debts that are owed to them, to America. Because leading up to 2012, America was going to have to pay China in December of 2012, and if they did not pay China back in full, China will begin their foreclosure proceedings, and that is exactly what happened. Remember the fiscal cliff? Remember the sequester? Remember the government shutdown? Three strikes and you're out. A standard foreclosure, if they foreclose on the house, it takes 2 years. 2 years from December 2012. Listen, let me rephrase that. They don't start a foreclosure proceeding until 120 to 180 days, which is between 4 to 6 months. But they issue a redemption period. Some have 6 months redemption, some has a year redemption. This is no different when you're dealing with a house than when you're dealing with a country. It is the same. Not of the amount of time given is different, but I'm saying the overall structure is the same. so the redemption period comes, and now they have the opportunity to pay in full the debt that is owed. And if they don't pay in full the debt that is owed, like on a house foreclosure, then that's when the creditor party moves to evict the people that are in the house. Okay, well, here China moved to evict the United States. Now, if there is a standoff where the people that are occupying the house don't want to exit the house, then there must be bailiffs sent out. Now, on a global scale, the bailiffs are the militaries. And so now the bailiffs or the militaries who are collection agents move in to collect on the debt that is owed to them and evict the people out of their position, out of their house, out of their power, out of their titles over property. If those people who are being evicted resist, now there breaks out a war. So what happened was, anytime there's a court hearing, a quote-unquote jury can be sequestered. So why was there a sequester? We did programs on that 3 years ago, 2 and 3 years ago. China moving to replace the Federal Reserve note dollar as the global reserve currency is the final evidence that they have completed their foreclosure, their commercial foreclosure. The United States is in resistance to that. So as Ron Paul and as others are warning, Warren Buffett and all of them are warning the American people what is about to happen, the people are asleep and their ears are closed. Because you believe in fantasies and fairy tales, you don't see what they're psychologically conditioning you for. And so that the more you believe in these religious fairy tales and don't know the actual real history and technology behind why they induce these things, the more you fall into that stupor, and you are better slaves. And they need you as slaves in order to continue to function and run government. Because America has no means of countering China economically any longer. Once China pulled out, listen, this is strategic. Now, if you can see this, I know how I'm saying this may be a little confusing to you today, but I have to get it out the best way I can. Let's look at the big picture. America goes and contracts with China to bring China into a first world status in commercial credit. This was back in the late 90s. Bill Clinton did that. China was considered a third world. When you hear the terms third world, they're talking about commercial credit status. They're talking about their credit score. That's what that means. It has nothing to do with the so-called condition of the people. The condition of the people is reflective of their economic status. People think it's just, oh, these people are just poor and broke and destitute. Because they believe in all these fantasies or whatever you think. When they're talking about third world conditions, they're talking about not just the mentality of the people, they're talking about the economic status and credit score. Okay? So a world is a subgenre of a credit score. Now, in the commercial language, that is. Now, Bill Clinton contracts with China back in the late 90s. Because what was happening then is America was going to have to pay the international bankers. So Bill Clinton went and contracted with China. China bought up America's debt. So America brought China out of third world status the same way that they did back in the 70s with Henry Kissinger and George Herbert Walker Bush, who was working for the CIA at the time in 1971. And they issued 30, 40, and 50-year land mortgages on the Islamic countries to bring the Islamic countries out of third world status to a first world credit score status. That was in the 1970s, 1971 to be specific. I'll say it again so it'll make a little more sense. I'll speak slowly. Henry Kissinger and George Herbert Walker Bush in 1971 began to contract with Islamic countries for the land rights for oil. And they can't contract that they would not, they agreed to not drill for oil in America. This is America now. They agreed to not drill for their own oil in America in exchange for the Islamic countries drilling for their oil and selling it directly to the United States of America. Those of us who are old enough to remember when I was very young, when I was 7 and 8 years old, the gas prices were like 79 cents. That's when I was young. During the Clinton years, the gas prices were in the 90 cents. The highest you paid for gas during the Bill Clinton years was like 96 cents a gallon. Anyway, let me jump back. In the 70s, the United States made the contracts with the Islamic countries for their oil. This brought Islamic countries out of a third world commercial credit score status to a first world credit score status, which helped to alleviate the debts that were on America. In the 90s, the United States contracted with China. In this manner, China was to buy up the debt from America, bringing up their credit score, bringing up China's credit score. But China, having contracts with the Islamic countries to get oil, made that an offset for the United States in the debts that they had to China. Do you see it? So that they can offset commercially the debts that they owe to China by having a checkmate in the sense of the contracts that held over the Islamic countries who was producing the oil for China. Once China pulled out of that contract with the Islamic countries, they switched over to Russia. So now Russia holds the contracts for the oil for China. Now the United States, having the Islamic countries under contract, no longer affects China. So now China has an open leeway to totally take over America commercially. Do you see that? Now that their chief, well, not chief, their primary creditor, now that the United States' principal creditor, China, no longer has use for Islamic country oil. Now, America has no use for the oil itself as a power tool to control others. So America is switching to electric cars. Do you see this? Because America owed China in full, well, they were supposed to pay in full, but then you get a redemption period in 2012. In December 2012, they were supposed to pay China. Because they did not pay China, They went into a fiscal cliff back in 2012, followed by a sequester, followed by a government shutdown. Now look at this in sequential order now, and it's not a coincidence. And now China is moving to replace the Federal Reserve note dollar with their own. Do you follow me? So now all of the countries that are controlled by the United States, all of the territories that are controlled by the United States are going to be foreclosed in this foreclosure that China is placing on America, meaning that wherever the Federal Reserve note is circulating as the reserve currency in all the countries and territories they control, that is going to be China's reserve currency. Hopefully that makes sense. I'm saying this to say to you, if you do not understand what is going on, you will not be prepared. You will be lost. They are using sports and entertainment to control and manipulate your life. They do it through the money. They will get the best talent, pour in the most money into that particular team, making it look like it's solely the best talent that is winning. They're passing this back and forth to keep the people focused on a small group of people who are going to be sitting in the seat of the presidential office. Barack Obama is from Chicago. Is it a coincidence that he's from Chicago, where Oprah is, where Michael Jordan was? Do you see this connection here that I'm trying to express to you? So what they've done is kept the control over sports and entertainment manipulated through the currency or the so-called money. And wherever they spend the most money is where they're going to generate a title contender or a title winner. Do you follow me? The New England Patriots just won the Super Bowl again. They won their first one back in 2001 when a new quarterback, Tom Brady, who replaced Drew Bledsoe, who due to injury, takes over. A losing coach takes over. And all of a sudden, they win and they go on national TV and say, "We're all Patriots." If you don't remember Terrell Owens, he went to Buffalo, New York to play a couple of seasons back. The Canadian fans root for New York team, Buffalo, New York, because Buffalo is close to Canada. So this team, the Buffalo Bills, was being looked upon as an international team, and almost like a Canadian team. Why am I saying this? Canada is a UK province. It's a territory of the United Kingdom. America is a territory of the United Kingdom. America is the hit squad for Rome. Rome controls the UK. Rome is the emperor. Let me set it up for you. Rome is the emperor. The UK is the king in the kingdom, but they don't have a king, they have a queen over them. An emperor is higher than a king or a queen. Now you got to have a military force. That's the United States. The United States is the military arm of Rome. So the UK rules over the United States, but Rome rules over the UK, so the UK and Rome are one, and the United States and the UK and Rome are one. So Canada, that is a province of the UK, Queen, Canada's queen is Queen of England, and America is a province of the U.S., of the UK. They're all under Rome. This is the revived Roman Empire. So Rome implements the Holy Trinity or the Triple Crown based off of what they gathered from their forefathers who were in Greece and in Egypt / Kemet. This is why when I saw this horse winning two of these titles, I knew that that meant that that horse was going to win the Triple Crown. I don't know if you can hear me. And as I'm sharing this with you, I know that it is somewhat dry. But I hope that you can put some of these pieces together and get yourself prepared, because you have been rocked to sleep. And as I'm predicting to you that I really believe that this horse is going to win this Triple Crown, even if he doesn't, maybe it's because we circumvented it by putting this info out there. But I really believe that this horse is going to win this title of the Triple Crown, which will make sense out of all of this different stuff. I know that I'm saying a lot here. And I know that it will take some of you time to really compute this, because you keep looking at life through religious eyes. Your religion, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way. Listen, your religion can either be one of two things. It can either be the truth, or it can be a total fantasy. If your religion doesn't identify you through your history of your bloodline, if it doesn't identify who the people are around you, then your God cannot identify them either. Therefore, you don't know who you are. You don't know what has taken place with your people historically versus others who are foreign to you. So you don't know your enemies or tricksters or mischief makers, liars. You don't know them for who they are. And you don't know yourself. And you cannot convince me that the real Most High Creator, the real Creator, would not know who you are as the creation. You can't convince me that the real Creator would not identify you to you, that you cannot identify yourself through your Creator as to who you specifically are in relationship to your Creator, as to who you specifically are in your history, in your ancestors' history on this earth. You're telling me that your God doesn't know history? You're telling me your God doesn't know the history of the people of this earth? You're telling me that your religion doesn't teach you this, therefore your God is not teaching you this? And you think that you believe in the real Creator? I'm saying this out of love and respect. I don't mean any disrespect. It's not so much a matter as what you call a religion as it is what you identify with in reality. Let me clear up that. Listen, I'm from Detroit. Born and raised in Detroit most of my life. always going to love the Detroit Pistons, always going to love the Detroit Lions. But I also love the Dallas Cowboys, have loved the Dallas Cowboys all my life. Is I was born a Detroiter, quote-unquote native Detroiter. But I can choose to like anything else outside of Detroit if I want to. The Dallas Cowboys was America's team. I love Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson, Butch Johnston, Tim Newsom. Loved him when I was growing up. Danny White replaced Roger Staubach. I remember all of that. I could like whatever I wanted to like. But what was I born as a native? Where was I born? Who am I as a native? This is what I'm saying. What you develop a like for doesn't mean that you're no longer who you were at birth. My point is who you actually are by your genetic bloodline and tribal origin is who your ancestors are, and you don't know them, and then you got the nerve to argue with somebody about who they are or debate with somebody about who they are, and you can't even decide who you are. You're basing who you are based off of what you like. I don't care how much I like the Dallas Cowboys. I wasn't born in Dallas, Texas. I've never lived in Dallas, Texas. And I'm never going to live, well, excuse me, it's never going to change the fact that I wasn't born in Dallas, Texas. I could choose to go to Dallas, Texas and live there if I want to. Just like you can choose to follow Islam or Christianity or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever you choose to call it. It doesn't change who you are. No differently than reality doesn't change because of your fantasy world. So you got to get a grip on the reality of how this earth is managed, maintained, governed, and controlled, on what's really going on. Then what's going to happen is the actual correct principles of those things that you call your religion are going to make that much more sense to you. I went on the Nikki Love show 3 years ago to promote a DVD that we have. Nikki Love said to me that she can't deny that she's an African. This is what she said to me, and I'm sure this is on the recording. She said, "I talk the talk, I speak the language, I cook the food. If I were to say that I was an African, my grandmother would smack me in the mouth." I'm paraphrasing. She knows her heritage, and it is not debatable with her. She's in America and knows her heritage, and she will not debate with you about who her grandmother is. And you cannot tell her who her grandmother is based off of something you read out of some Caucasian's book, or any book for that matter. But here you, the Negro in America, the Latino in America, and the Native in America, you don't know anything beyond what happened to you at the hands of these Roman conquerors that are ruling America today. All you know is what they told you. And the sad thing is, some of you lost your memory of who you are, and some of you didn't. Some of us actually know who we are. So if you came to me asking about who I am, you don't understand, my wife, consort, common language wife, my consort, she is a published genealogist, been such since the early 90s, researched her own family bloodline, and can prove who she is. But how many of you even have a clue where to start? And yet you will argue and debate amongst one another, arguing about who you are. My point is, listen, there is no argument about who we are for those of us who know who we are. For those who don't know, they will argue and debate. And that's sad. When you get past that and stop trying to influence people with your ideology or your philosophy, and when you deal with the facts of what is taking place on this earth, your eyes will be fully open to understand what you heard me say today. And it may take you years to get there, but you got to shed your emotions and you got to separate yourself from your own emotional attachments to your fantasies. You are emotionally attached to your fantasy religions. I'm not saying religion as a whole. I'm not accusing all of your religions of being total fantasies, no. But the great portion of what you are practicing and believing in has nothing to do with the root core of what is being taught in the religion. So it has nothing to do so much with the religion as your perception and the miseducation and the continued psychological control for those who actually know what's going on. That's my point. I don't know if you can hear me today. And for some of you, this may take the next 2,000 years for you to get. Some of you, you might get it in the next 3 to 5 years. Some of you might get it immediately. I just hope it's not too late for you to wake up and look at this thing in reality. Then you'll understand the metaphoric, metaphysical explanations of prophecies and what was to come. When you know, you can't, listen, here's what can stomp this out. You cannot, Chili, predict a future or call yourself a prophet based off of some guess. Oh, you got some mysterious insight, some mysterious quote-unquote gift, and you could just prophesy and then it's going to come to pass. Why every time you put one of these types of individuals up to the test, none of the things they say come to pass? And I'm not claiming to be a prophet, by the way. None of these things that these people say come to pass, because they're basing what they're saying off of a complete fantasy. When you can look at the reality of what is happening and what has happened on this earth for thousands of years, then you can see what is coming. This is why I'm saying this today about this American pharaoh. And yes, this is a guess for me. But I wanted to show you all the circumstances around it that are making me say this. All these circumstances are making me say that this American pharaoh is going to win this triple crown, the horse. Thank you for listening. Peace and blessings to you.